you know, just be in prayer for the families of those that lost lives 15 years ago, and really anyone in a tragic set of circumstances as a result of those kinds of activities and behaviors and heinous acts by other people, Lord, that are just dealing with struggles and challenges this day. Just offer a moment of silence as we remember, and also remember that you know, the pain and suffering isn't always too far away from us. It's closer than we can possibly imagine, and because of that, we need to cling to Jesus even more. So let's offer a moment of silence, then I'll offer a prayer. Lord God, on a day like that today, when we're reminded of the 15th anniversary of 9/11, Lord God, we're reminded of not only the pain and the suffering of humanity, Lord, so we lift up the families of those that have lost loved ones and continue to deal with that tragedy, but Lord, at the same time, we're also reminded of the heroic efforts of those men and women who continuously put their lives on the line to run into burning buildings and put their lives on the line to go into challenging situations, to be a blessing to people. So Lord God, we lift up a hedge of protection around our first responders, around firefighters, around EMTs, around paramedics, around police officers and law enforcement everywhere, Lord God, in this nation and around the world. Lord God, would you bring blessings of protection and power into their life? Lord, we just thank you for them. We're just so grateful. Oh Lord God, would you continue to teach us as a church on a day like today, may we be reminded that it is all the more important to make sure that every person we come in contact with knows you, your Son, Jesus Christ, in a personal way. That today, a day like this, reminds us that our mission of come, connect, grow, and go is even more important in our minds and our hearts than it ever can be, Lord God. Would you have us be mindful of the work of our church in the shadows of uncertainty, in the shadows of darkness, in the shadows of sorrow, pain, and suffering? Lord God, would you allow us in the power of your Holy Spirit to bring your joy, your hope, and the power of your salvation into the midst of this world as a church. We give it to you, Lord God. We put it into your hands, and we give you the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's watch this video together.
Here's a few reasons why people don't go to church.
I can't come to church until I get my life together.
Church is how I got my life together.
Church is filled with a bunch of hypocrites.
And there's always room for one more.
All they care about is your money.
They care about me, not about my money.
Is there some kind of dress code?
Yes, the code is wear some clothes.
Church, it just makes me nervous.
I was nervous at first, and then I felt right at home.
I'm not sure I believe everything that you believe.
But you can still belong.
Church is for wimpy, girly men.
You want to say that again?
If you knew me and what I've done, you wouldn't want me.
If you knew me and what I've done, you wouldn't be worried.
You can come to my church even if you were brought up
Catholic,
Baptist,
Methodist,
Jewish,
Mormon,
Lutheran,
Pentecostal,
Presbyterian,
Church of Christ,
Southern Baptist.
A little bit of everything and a whole lot of nothing.
See, it's not about a religion, it's about a relationship.
So please, come to my church.
Where nobody's perfect.
Where beginners are welcome.
Where socks are optional,
but grace is required.
Where forgiveness is offered.
Where hope is alive.
And where it's okay to not be okay. Really.
Yes, please pay extra special attention to the dress code here. Clothing is not optional. It is a requirement, but what you wear is not all that important. And we're embarking on a new sermon series today, as I mentioned, and it's called The Journey, and it really is going to unlock our eyes to the fact that our entire life is a journey. And that's what our church wants to be about, is to invite people to the journey of life. But we're talking about a very specific journey, a very amazing journey that can only be offered by one person. And that person starts the journey by offering you and me an invitation, and that is to come. To come just as you are. Now, the amazing thing about the journey that God is unlocking for us here at this church at Rolling Plains is it's something we've been having conversations about for years. The journey actually already exists, and it was put into place years ago when we came up with our mission of come, connect, grow, and go, because that is a journey in and of itself, and it is the journey that God is calling you to, and he's calling me to. Now, if we're all honest, you know, life is a journey, and there are various journeys along the journey of life, and one of those was a camping trip that my family took in 2011. It had been 5 years ago. We packed up the camper and we went out west, and we went out west and drove that distance with a 31-foot travel trailer. We went out and back in 11 days. Now, that is an amazing journey in and of itself. My brother was in his own RV they rented. My folks had the RV that they rented, and so we had this parade of vehicles going out west. And let me tell you, when you're into about the 11th hour in that car, and you can no longer ignore the smells and the sounds that are coming from the back seat, and you're in that moment where, you know, I'm hungry, we're hungry, the gas meter's low, and you got to stop for gas, you got to find the food, you don't know where you're going, you've never been there before, and every time you take a turn, there's something new, there's something, a sight that you haven't seen, an experience you haven't had before. It's just an amazing experience. There's so much fun, but yet there are challenges, and you don't know what's around the corner, and so there's a little bit of fear and concern and worry, and it's all wrapped up in this moment that just kind of calls itself a journey. And I think life is a lot like that camping trip. We had a blast. We had an amazing time, but we had struggles along the way. That's just so true about our life. And when you think about the journey of life, you know, you start off as a really young person, and some of you are right now still a really young person. And we get to be 3, 4, and 5 years old, and we start to talk, and we start to discover kind of a little bit of our surroundings and who we are. And then we get to be like 9, 10, and 11, and 12, and maybe puberty starts to kick in, and the voice starts to change. And I know talking to some families that the kids are growing so fast, like the bones and the muscular tissue can't even catch up with how fast their kids are growing. And all of a sudden, size 9s turn into size 13s and 14s, and as parents are trying to figure out, where are we going to order shoes that big? And so then life turns into a set of car keys, and you're off into high school, and then eventually you graduate from high school, and you celebrate that thing, and then you move on into life, and either you maybe start a family, maybe you get married, you have kids, and then you're on into retirement. I mean, that whole thing along the lines is a journey, and very rarely do we stand still in that journey. God continues to move us and grow us and move us into those directions. And all along the way, there's growing that happens. There's maturing that happens. There are trials and there are struggles. And so the reality in this journey of life is that humans are rarely stagnant when it comes to the journey. When we're on this journey, we're rarely stagnant. As a matter of fact, it's actually not healthy for the human body to remain stagnant for very long. You know, there's some sad cases oftentimes when I visit the hospital or I visit somebody who's in an assisted living facility and they've been there for a while and they're dealing with recovering from a surgery or just because they're down and the challenges in their life are too great for them to be able to get up out of bed. And when the human body lays in bed too long, things can happen, like fluid can start to collect in lungs and bed sores start to develop and doctors get worried about blood clots. Why is that? Because the human body was never meant to sit that still for that period of time without exercise. And guess what exercise is? Exercise is movement. Exercise is moving the muscles, exercising the muscles, moving your arms and your legs and your hands and your feet and your head and your neck and your torso and whatever it might be. And so it's important for the human body on a regular basis in order to remain healthy physically to constantly be on the move. Now I know Scripture tells us to be still and know that I'm God. And what God wants to teach us in that moment is this idea of, you know, don't live in fear, don't live in worry, don't think that you're the only one that needs to accomplish things all the time. Sometimes we just need to let God work. But it's not an excuse for us to just say, you know what, God, I'm good where I'm at. I don't need to go anywhere else. I don't need you to lead me anywhere else. I don't need any new thing in my life. I don't need you to do a new thing. You know, see, just as the body is constantly on the move for a healthy experience, our minds and our souls and our spirit need movement because our souls long for a journey that goes well beyond this worldly life. Our souls long for God's movement in our life so that God can move us and guide us and lead us to new and amazing places. Now, oftentimes when we think about this question, what do we live for? What does the journey in our life look like? So many people have so many different answers to that. But in America, the American dream might be the answer to that. What do we live for? Well, we live to get married. We live someday to raise those 2.5 kids. I don't know how you raise 2.5 kids, but that's the average in America, I think, or something, or 1.5, who knows. But you live to raise those 2.5 kids. You know, you're longing for that nicer house and or the nicer car and eventually to have grandkids come someday and have a nice retirement. And all along the way, we're kind of working for the weekends, and we just hope that we can get by. We hope that Friday's coming soon. And wouldn't, like, the 7-day week be great if every day was Friday? I mean, for some of us in our minds, we would be just fine and fantastic with every day being Friday. And so we kind of get into this mode that this is what we seek after in our life, that we're just after the marriage, we're just after the cars, we're just after getting more and attaining more until we can get the retirement, and then all of a sudden it's all done. But God says, you were created for so much more than this. You were created for an amazing, soul-filled journey. Amen? I mean, that's exciting. You were created for so much more. And here's what God created you for in John 10:10. He says, I have come, and this is Jesus speaking, that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. That is the journey you were created for. Now, I just skipped past the first part of that verse because the enemy offers a journey that would be the opposite of that. And it says this, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And so there's an amazing moment in this scripture where God gives us two different journeys. He says, here's what two different journeys in this life can look like. And ultimately, every single person on this planet is walking one of these two journeys. There's no in between. Either we are on a pathway towards self-destruction, and that pathway of self-destruction is this picture of a journey that the enemy gives us. And the enemy, by the way, is Satan, the devil. And he hates God, and he hates everything that God loves, and so he hates your guts. And his plan for this journey for you is a journey of self-destruction based on self-focus, self-serving, self-absorption, do your own thing, ignore God, ignore God's creation and his directives for you, and kind of live your own life and believe that you have control of everything, which ultimately leads to the only fulfillment for us is worldly living that is desperate to achieve more, is desperate to have more, and even though we achieve more and have more, we wind up living with a haunting dissatisfaction and a haunting dissatisfaction and lack of joy. Am I talking to some of the right people here today? I think we've all experienced that in life. So that's one journey that we could live. But the journey that God and Jesus Christ is calling us to is that I have come that you might have life. Now watch this. He doesn't stop there. He doesn't say, I just want you to come and have any old life, you know, working for the weekend kind of life, trying to attain this and attain that. No, I have come to give you a life of abundance. You see, Jesus' promise is to come to give you a life of abundance where you're walking with God in a personal relationship with him and you're living according to his purposes and his plan. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible tells us, and Paul writes these words, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Jesus Christ so that we can do the good things he has planned for us long ago to do." This is the journey that you've been created for. Praise be to God. This is the journey that you are destined for. This is why you exist, to be loved by God and to come alongside of him and to do the good things that he's planned all along for you to be able to do. That's your purpose in life. And how many people do you come across with in life? And if you ever ask them the question, what is your purpose? You know that they probably would look at you with a deer in the headlights because they don't have the answer to that question. A lot of you here today, you may not know, but today you can know. God has purposed you for an amazing journey, an amazing life, a relationship where he can love you, with his full potential as God to love you. Nothing you can do today can earn more of his love. Nothing you can do today can earn less of his love. It's all there. For him to be able to love you and for you to love him back and serve him. Serve him in the good things that he created you to do. And those things can't be found in the world. They're only found in the power of Jesus Christ. And that's why it's all about the journey in Christ. You see, it's not just the journey of life. It's all about the journey in Christ. And if you're taking notes, you can fill those out in your bulletin or you can get on your smartphones, go to your YouVersion Bible app, go to events, and the outline will be right there. It's all about the journey in Christ. And oh, by the way, if you're on your phones, then I won't think that you're texting or something like that, right? You'll be deeply steeped in the Word of God. You'll be, you know, pouring yourself into the message. So it's all about the journey in Christ. And what is the journey in Christ? Come as you are. Connect with others. Connect with God. Grow in your relationship with God through God's word and prayer. And go in Jesus' name. That's the journey of Jesus Christ that you are invited to. And the invitation to come, the first part of that, the invitation to come is born in each and every one of us. This is an amazing truth that everybody should hear today. The invitation to come is born in each and every one of us. You are created in God's image. The Bible says that. You are created in God's image. And so that means you belong to nobody else, but you belong to God. The problem is that so many of us don't know that and own that and realize that in our life. But you are created in the image of God. Listen to Jesus' invitation. Listen to God's invitation in the Bible in Revelation 22. It says, the Spirit and the bride say come. The Spirit of God and the bride say come. By the way, the bride is the church. The bride is Jesus Christ in this church. The Spirit and the church, the Spirit and Jesus say, come. It's the invitation. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life, they should come as well. This is the invitation of God. And we are all born with this moment of God's grace in us because we're born into His image. You know, we're all born with this God DNA that lives in our spirit, lives in our hearts, and it draws us to God every day of our life when we become consciously aware of our need for God. It's like a spiritual tractor beam. You're like, what is a tractor beam? Can you find that in the dictionary somewhere, a tractor beam? Okay, it's not a tractor and a beam separately. It's a tractor beam. Now, the only way you would understand what that is if you're a Star Wars fanatic, and if you know the very first installment of Star Wars. I'm not talking about episodes 1, 2, and 3. I mean, I don't understand it. The very first Star Wars to me is now called A New Hope, and it's episode 4. Now, how is that possible when that came out in the 1970s, right? No, most people, when you say Star Wars, they say, oh, yeah, episode 1, 2, and 3, episode 7, 8, and 9. No, no. I'm talking about episode 4, the Millennium Falcon, back when Harrison Ford was back in probably his 30s playing Han Solo. And all of a sudden, they get gripped by the Death Star. And what does the Death Star have a hold of them with? A charger beam! And they try to get out of it. They try to do this and that. They try everything. They try to hit all these buttons. And there is nothing that they can do to stop the gravitational force or the pull from that planet and the mechanical tractor beam that they have on them. So when you were born into this world, God planted some DNA in you, some God's grace moment in you that just reaches into your spirit and it just constantly draws you to Him. Now, what we try to do with that is we try to take that hole in our soul, that feeling that, hey, listen, we need something that's out there. And so in order to fulfill that, we need something that's out there. We fill it with pleasure and power and purchases and relationships and try to attaining more and getting the latest gadget, a nicer car and a bigger house and a better relationship. And so all of these things we do to try to fill that thirst that's inside of us that we try to quench our thirst with, only there's only one thing out there that will quench our thirst. It's kind of like the old Sprite commercials. Remember the old Sprite commercials? They told you to do what to your thirst? Well, they said something before that, to obey your thirst. Remember that? Obey your thirst. Obey your thirst. That's a Sprite commercial. And what they're saying is when you are thirsty, there is nothing that's going to quench your thirst that you need to obey to other than the lemon and lime, cool, crisp taste that comes clean out of the bottle from a bottle of Sprite. I don't know about you, but oftentimes after drinking a carbonated beverage, I'm more thirsty afterwards than before I began. So that illustration only goes so far. But in this case, we have a thirst in our human hearts that God has downloaded because of a moment of His God DNA. We are created in His image that draws us in. And God wants us to obey our thirst, to realize that the only thing that will quench our thirst and our longing and our desire for something more in our life can only come from something that's greater than anything else that's ever existed in the history of humankind. And that is a relationship with God. A relationship with God only made possible through Jesus Christ. And you see, it is this moment of God in you that shouts at you to come, that shouts at you that you need me. You need me in your life. As a matter of fact, there's a fancy church term for this, and it's called prevenient grace. It's God's grace. Now, while prevenient might seem a little bit fancy, it's as simple as it sounds. That word pre is this idea that it comes before. It is the grace that comes before we're old enough to know and have the conscious aware that there's something going on in our life. It's the grace that comes before that we even respond to God. It's the fact that God has moved first and acted first and that He's present in our life before we're old enough to even know about it. It's God's prevenient grace in our hearts that we're born with as a part of His DNA in us because we are born in His image. And it's that prevenient grace that cries out to us. It's that spiritual tractor beam that reaches out into the world and searching for something and to realize the only thing that's going to quench that thirst is God through Jesus Christ. And so in the local church here at Rolling Plains, there is an invitation of Jesus Christ that God wants us to receive. And the invitation is constantly out there, is that to come. Come to Jesus. Come here. You know, come as you are. It doesn't matter what you're wearing. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter your background. You just come as you are. And that grace inside of us causes us to shout because we've discovered the answer to our thirst. And so what happens as Christ followers in the church is that we're constantly inviting anybody we know to come to church with us. Or we invite anybody we know to find Jesus Christ because he's quenched our thirst. And so basically a Christ follower is just one thirsty person helping another thirsty person find living water, the living water of Jesus Christ. And this is the cry of the local church. The cry of the local church is a basic invitation, is to come for as many people as possible to come and to find the love of Jesus in the midst of the journey of their life. You've been invited to something before, haven't you? I mean, you got an invitation in the mail to that party that you've been just dying to be able to go to, and because that's, you know, maybe that's where your best friend is, or the boy you like, or the girl that you like, and you're just excited to go to that party, and you've received an invitation in the mail. My kids just received an invitation this past summer to take their 4-H projects to state fair, and that was a huge thing, and they were so excited, and the girls were going to get their projects judged, and they'd never been to state before. They'd never even done a 4-H project before, and it was a huge deal. I remember when Bishop Palmer, they called me into the office and said, 3.5 years ago, hey, we want you to take a new church. We want to invite you to come and be the pastor of Rolling Plains United Methodist Church. And it was so overwhelming to me. It was so scary. It was so challenging, but yet it was so exciting and so humbling all at the same time that the Spirit of God was moving in the hearts of people that believed that I had the skills and the ability to be able to come alongside of this amazing congregation and to do life and ministry together for however many years to come. What an amazing invitation. So think about the greatest invitation that you've ever had in your entire life. And the invitation of Jesus Christ we're talking about today overshadows all of that, because this is the most amazing invite you could possibly ever receive in your life. What's the invite entail? Well, in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, Jesus has this to say to you. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If there is ever a verse of Scripture for you to memorize for everyday living, there's power in God's Word. Amen? There's power in God's Word. And you got to hear what God is saying to your soul, your thirsty, hungry, struggling soul, is that you were made for a relationship with me. That's what God's saying. And he says, when you answer the call to come, here's what I'm offering you. He says, I'm offering you a personal relationship with me and to do life together. And so when you hear this invitation from him, he says, listen, oftentimes when you get an invitation, you're worried about what you're supposed to pack. You're worried about what you're supposed to wear. Hey, listen, when you come to church, just wear something. It doesn't matter what you wear, just wear something, please. But God is saying, it doesn't matter what you wear. It doesn't matter, you know, if you're angry, if you're struggling. It doesn't matter how you prepare yourself. You just come to me. You don't even need a change of clothes. And oftentimes we're so worried when we go to the party, what am I going to wear? Or when you show up somewhere, how am I going to act? I got to clean up the way I'm speaking and what I'm doing. You know, maybe right now you're broken, you're hurting, you're angry, you're struggling, you have lack, you're worn out, you have doubts. And God says, you just come. And the invitation of God's local church, and it ought to be here at Rolling Plains, it ought to be at every church known to humankind, that you can come as you are. You can come as you are, because that's the way that Jesus invites us to come. And I've heard from so many people that are involved in our church that says one of the things that drew me to Rolling Plains was that first statement, that I could come as I am in my life. But that's the invitation of Jesus before it's the invitation of his local church. But because it's the invitation of Jesus, it is the invitation of his local church. Jesus is saying, you come in all your mess. You come in all your struggles. You come in all of your brokenness, and you take my yoke upon you. Now, you might think, well, taking my yoke upon you, I mean, a yoke is a pretty heavy thing. It's a big old burden. I mean, a yoke is something that would drive oxen. You know, oxen would be, and some people still use them today. In Vietnam, I know they use them. I saw them with their water buffaloes. They'd put a wooden member and this big long yoke over their shoulders. They would yoke the oxen together. There'd be the reins that would go back to the farmer, and they would drive that. And that yoke would steer the oxen and let them know exactly where they needed to go. Now, this is not a heavy burden for the oxen. Actually, the oxen appreciate it because they don't have to think. They don't have to process. They don't have to figure out where they're supposed to go tomorrow because they're being guided and led by their master. So here's what Jesus says. When you take my yoke upon you, what is Jesus' yoke for you and me? It's saying yes to the journey. When you take the journey of Jesus Christ and you yoke yourself to that, you attach yourself to that, when you yoke yourself to the journey of Jesus Christ, you're saying to him, okay, I'm going. Okay, Jesus, I'm in. I'm going to take on your lordship. I'm going to take on your salvation. I'm going to take on your invitation to be Lord of my life. What the Bible's telling you, what Jesus is saying, is that's not burdensome at all. It actually lifts your burdens. Taking on the yoke of Jesus Christ is not burdensome at all. It actually lifts your burdens. Now, what it might do is it might create a new burden on your heart to make changes and adjustments, but Jesus is not here to be a weight to press you down, to oppress you. He's here to actually set you free. So by attaching yourself to Jesus and his control, you get set free. You get set free from your burdens and your trials and your challenges. It actually lifts up your burdens because now you're full of the love of God. You've experienced your grace. And you experience God's grace, and now your soul, who's been thirsting all along, gets to find some rest that you've been crying out for all along, because now you have been found and you've invited Jesus into your life. It lightens the load of life. It lightens your trials. It lightens your challenges. It lightens the weight of sin because you've found the grace of Jesus Christ and you've gotten set free. That's the kind of party that I want to get invited to. That's the kind of life that I want to get invited to. That's the journey that God is inviting us to, and I want to be involved in that. And you might say, but how is that possible? Well, here's how that's possible, if you're taking notes. The favor of God makes an undeserved invitation to come possible. The only reason that you have this invitation in the mail of your soul, in the mail that you get to open up, is because of the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's the only way. And by the way, it's an undeserved invitation that you have simply been given the favor of God. And the favor of God that is undeserved is called God's grace. That's what grace is. Grace is undeserved favor. You know, you've done something that requires a punishment, yet someone says, you know what? Not only am I not going to give you that punishment, but I'm going to take that punishment on myself. That's God's grace. And because of our worldly pursuits, because we want to do things our own way, because we want to turn our back on God and we want to ignore his principles, the Bible calls that basic attitude sin. And in the Bible tells us that sin only leads to destruction and harm and death and struggle. And the thief promises that for you and for me. Remember, that's the first journey we can go on if we want. But Jesus has come to give us an abundant life. Jesus has come and in our place took on our pain. He bore our suffering and he died on the cross in our place and took our death. And because of that, he's made a relationship with him, with God possible through the journey of Jesus Christ in our life. He was the perfect, unblemished, sacrificial lamb. He was the perfect sacrifice whose blood covers over our sin and makes life with God possible only through God and Jesus Christ in his unmerited favor called God's grace. I love what Isaiah has to say in chapter 1, verse 18 in the Old Testament in God's Word. It's the invitation of God. Come now, let's settle this matter, says the Lord. I love that. That's like a debtor and a debtee getting together. The one in debt and the one that holds the debt getting together and saying, come now, let's settle up. Now, the one that's in debt would think that they need to bring their pocketbook or bring a whole lot of fear, worry, and concern because, well, they're in debt. And they're about to meet with the debtor who's going to want to reclaim his debt. And God says, come now, let's get together. Let's talk. And here's what he has to say. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Praise be to God. So God settles the matter right there with you and right there with me. But you see, it's not our blood. It's not our sins that are covered. It's our sins that's covered by the blood of Jesus Christ as red as scarlet. You see, we come to him and we bring our sin. We bring that scarlet, that guilty nature in us, that sinful nature, and we give it to Jesus. And it is his scarlet blood that covers over the sin in our life. And we put it at his feet. And when we do that, we take his yoke of holiness that covers over our sin, our guilt, our shame, and it becomes as white as snow in the eyes of God. And so therefore, what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you and for me is he justified us. Now that's another fancy church term that simply means that Jesus made you right in the eyes of God because he took on our penalty, because he took on our suffering, because he took on what we deserve. He has made us right with God. He has justified us with God. Praise be to God. And he's made us right in his eyes, and he made us right for the journey with God. That's why at Rolling Plains Church, we're going to believe that none of us is perfect. At Rolling Plains Church, everyone who walks through the door, we're going to recognize that has some broken moment in their life. That everyone who comes to church here has some kind of baggage, some kind of struggle that we need saving from. We're just a hospital for sinners. here at Rolling Plains Church. Because every single one of us has a struggle or a trial. Not one of us is better than any other, and not one of us is without sin. Not one of us is without a trial or a challenge. And you don't need to change before you come here. Just come and let Jesus change you. There is grace here, and we want to create an atmosphere of hospitality, of gracious hospitality, that says we're going to do this journey thing together, and we're going to do this thing together, and I'm going to recognize that you don't need to be where I am in the journey because you're not where I am in the journey, and we're all at a different place, but we're going to be on the same journey, and we're going to be seeking Christ. We're going to be seeking life change. We're going to be seeking His forgiveness. We're going to be seeking Him doing a new work in our life and guiding us and leading us to new places. That's the invitation of the journey. And when you answer God's invitation to come, it unleashes His promises in your life. And that is the original promise of John 10:10. The promise of an abundant life, an abundance of hope, an abundance of joy, an abundance of fulfillment, an abundance of God's provision. Listen what the Bible says. Listen what God says in John chapter 6. Then Jesus declared these words, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." I will never drive away. And so what Jesus is talking about is this moment of lasting satisfaction and fulfillment that feeds our soul, that is life-giving water, that when we invite Jesus to come into our life, when we say, "Jesus, thank you for the invitation to come. I want you to come into my life." He begins to be the food and the water and the nutrients that we need to be satisfied on a daily basis. And Jesus feeds our soul for the long haul. And Jesus Christ in our life is absolute and complete. There is joy in the middle of storms because of Jesus. There is hope even when the cards feel stacked against us because of Jesus. And with Jesus, we need nothing else because He guides us and leads us into all things. He feeds us. He's the bread of life. He gives us drink when we're thirsty because he's the living water. And at the end he says, "And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." He'll never leave you in the dust. He'll never forsake you or leave you hanging. You know, he's not a piece of fruit stripe gum. Remember fruit stripe gum with the zebra on the front of that gum? Now, fruit stripe gum is really great. I mean, it has an amazing and intense fruity and sweet flavor. It was one of my favorite gum for the first 3 seconds. Because after about the first 3 seconds, when your saliva hits that gum and all of a sudden the sweetness and the juices and the sugar starts to come out, and after about 3 seconds it tastes good, all of a sudden what you realize you have left is a glob of slippery paste in your mouth. It has no flavor whatsoever. It is gone. And it gives you this shot in the arm for the first 3 seconds, 10 seconds, 15 seconds. But after that, you're ready to spit it out and pop in another piece of gum. But that's the life that the enemy offers you, a life that sounds good at the beginning but doesn't offer lasting fulfillment. You need to keep going back to Him and back to what Jesus says is, "Hey, listen, when you allow me to come into your life," He says, "I'm going to give you a lasting buffet of sustenance and drink and beverage. I'm going to give you the sweet and the savory. I'm going to give you everything you need. It is never going to end. It's going to be filled with bacon and primed rib and Little Debbie's, you know, spiritually speaking. You know, whatever that might be for you. But it's going to be this lasting moment of fulfillment that nothing else in this world, an endless supply of life-giving grace, of life-giving love, of life-giving joy, and life-giving provision. The journey of Jesus Christ is not a piece of fruit stripe gum. It's just not. It's just not in that moment. It is a lasting buffet of sustenance, and He wants you at the table. And He's not going to send you away from the table. Oftentimes we leave the table, but God wants you at that table dining with Him. At Rolling Plains Church, we're going to do everything we can to make more room at the table for those yet to come. And we're going to do everything we can to set the table, to put out a buffet, to put out a feast, and invite anybody who's able and willing and available to come and to eat and to feast with us and to dine with us and to drink with us. And we're going to show each other the next step towards growth. And we're going to be on the move. We're not going to stand still. We're not going to stand pat. We're going to challenge people to come and get fed and to grow and to allow God to change us from the inside out. That's the call of God when the invitation is to come. Well, you think, okay, what am I supposed to bring? What do I bring to the table in the party? You come with a trust and an openness and an expectancy of his purposes. You come with a trust and openness and an expectancy of his purposes. Going back to the Bible, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." You see, children naturally trust. Children are naturally unassuming. Children don't feel like they need a set of qualifications to approach their parents. They're just willingly, they just willingly put their life into the hands of mom and dad and believe in their goodness and their ability to guide and lead the journey into good and great places. There's just this inherent trust and excitement. Wherever the parents are going to lead, we just accept it. And I'm going to love my parents and I'm going to go where they're going because they've got this and they're good. Now, it doesn't always work out that way in life, and I understand, but that's the mentality that God is calling us to have when we come to him, that this is how God wants us to accept him into our life as little children, filled with trust, filled with belief, filled with confidence, and knowing that God's got this, knowing that God has this, because when you accept the invitation, you embark on an amazing journey. You embark on an amazing journey because God is good, and God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And so you embark on this amazing journey, so be ready for God to move and to work in your life in ways that you've never thought of. So you've got to be open. You've got to be expectant. You've got to come in and trust because you never know what God is going to do. And it might mean that you're going to need to make some changes in your life, maybe some significant changes. It might mean that he's going to give you a different set of lenses to see the world differently or to see this relationship differently or to see this issue differently. It may mean he's going to call you to take leaps of faith that you never thought you could possibly take. But as you follow his lead and join him in his plan, he's going to guide you and lead you everywhere you go, like he did for Peter. You know, Jesus gave the same invitation to Peter to come. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, the Bible tells us, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will set you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. You see, Peter got an invitation to come, and it led to a whole new life for him that he had not experienced before. And that's the journey that God is calling us on, a journey of living for Jesus Christ and not living for self, a journey of living out his plan for life that he has for us and serving him by loving on his people and serving his people. And in this moment, inviting those very same people to come as Jesus has invited you to come as they are, to come as you are, and to experience the life of Jesus Christ, to experience this journey together. This is the beginning to come as you are. This is the invitation of the beginning of your discipleship pathway to growth at Rolling Plains, is to come as you are. This is the journey. Here's a couple of action steps for you. Number one, you know, accept Jesus' invitation to come. Accept Jesus into your life. And I'd love to talk to you about that after church here. If you want to come forward and pray, I'd be happy to do that with you. Secondly, attend Get to Know Rolling Plains. Take Starting Point. Those are all classes and experiences designed at the very beginning when you come into this building to get to know people, to build relationships, to get connected, to understand Jesus a little bit more, and to receive that invitation to come to Christ. Serve at the door of the journey. When I say serve at the door of the journey, serve in the parking lot. Open doors for people. Greet them. You know, you serve in ministries that are kind of at the front door of the pathway of discipleship here for people to come as they are. And that might mean, you know, putting out desserts or refreshments at Hebrews Cafe. Maybe you want to get involved in that ministry. Serve at the welcome desk where Steve Johnson and his team lead that moment. But that's the doorway. That's the front door towards this pathway that says, come as you are. You know, the connection card you're going to hear from Aaron in just a moment is filled with all types of ways to come to Jesus. Through accepting him as your personal Lord and Savior, through baptism. If you've never been baptized, you'll understand that baptism really just marks that gracious decision of Jesus Christ in your life. We're going to be doing that today at Lake Isabella, and it's not too late. If you've never been baptized before, we'll figure that out. Come talk to me, and we'll get you connected. But don't ignore the invitation to come. And as a church, let us be a church that constantly puts the invitation out there to all of the world to come as you are to this journey of Jesus Christ. Amen.
So if a journey starts with one step, what's your next step? Is it a basic step of finding out who Jesus is and what that means for your life? Is it the next step of baptism? Or maybe it's the next step of figuring out which of these classes will help you learn more about God and help you learn all the steps you need to be taking as you finish this journey and walk this journey. The good news is you're in the right place. This is a great place for questions, and we want to find answers together. As you bring out your blue connection card and complete your name and any information that might be new to us, we want to tell you about a few of the classes that are coming up. And if you do sign up for things on the back of the card, if you would be willing to share your email and or your cell phone number and mark that we can text you, these are great ways we can be in touch with you and help see where you're progressing through your journey so that we can encourage you on your next steps. On the back, you'll see several of the things John's talked about, and specifically, we want to tell you about Starting Point. In your bulletin, it says it begins on the 28th. We're actually going to start it a week earlier on September 21st, so we've still got a couple weeks, though. This is a great place to be if you want to get to know some new people. If you've been at the church for quite a while and you can come alongside some of our new folks and encourage them and get to know them better. Or maybe you're someone who has questions about the Bible and how to use it, why we have it, why it even matters if God's in our life. This is a great start for your journey. Maybe you want to find out a little bit more about your purpose and why God has you here. And in October, we're going to have a class that's going to help you walk through those questions. It's called Shape. You can sign up for that, and we'd love to get you more details. You can check us out on Facebook or Instagram or our website and find details about all the things happening at the church. The ushers are going to come forward and collect God's tithes and our offerings and our connection cards. If you're a first-time guest with us, we're so glad you're here today. We invite you to stop by either of the tables at the back of the sanctuary. We have a gift we'd like to send home with you. We ask that as you include your gifts and offerings to God, that you include your connection card in the basket as well.
We want to invite you in this moment to remind you that this is a time of prayer, and it's a time of song, and however you feel need to respond to this, the message you heard today, the singing today, the praying today, whatever it might be.